And welcome to Spiritual Talk Radio. I'm your host. My name's Michael, and I appreciate you tuning in. We're supposed to have a guest tonight, and hopefully that guest will show up here shortly. It is Donnell Agnew. Hopefully I said that name right. And she is a UFOologist, and so we'll find out what all that is and all about her. And she wears many, many hats, and she will be here shortly, I hope. And like I said, her name is Donnell Agnew, and just awesome person. We're going to go ahead and pull a card for the show, I guess. Have you ever had just one of those days? You know, all day long, it just feels like that my brain has not been working. I don't know. I don't know. I'm the only one that's been feeling that way, but it's all day long. I've been just like, okay, can you work now? And so, so it's just been that craziness today. Well, let me go ahead and shuffle the deck here, and that's that noise you're hearing right now. I'm shuffling the deck. While I'm doing that, I will tell you to pay attention to our website at www.spiritualtalkradio.net. I am considering some things. I'm praying about some things. It could be exciting. And I believe it will be exciting for us, but it will be a huge change for us. But I would tell you to pay attention to our show page for that. And our guest has arrived, and so that's awesome. And Donnell, welcome to the program, and I'll be talking to you shortly. But right now, let's go ahead and pull a card for the show. And it comes from my Gaia deck tonight. And it is... Okay, let me pull a card. The attachment card, letting go, restriction, and fear. Actually, fitting, because a couple of weeks, I think it was a week ago, maybe we had a medium on here and told me, you know, gave me a reading and was talking about me stepping out more, you know, being more visible. And there's a lot of things that Spirit's been talking to my heart about for the last couple of years, and it would make me more visible. But my own personal fears are holding me back. And so, you know, hey, I'm human. I got fears too. And so, you know, we got to let go of those things. We got to get past that stuff because it just holds us back from what Spirit wants us to do. And because if we're always being restricted, then we can't grow. We can't move forward. We can't see what Spirit wants to do in our lives. And so we got to get past that. So we got to let go of those attachments that pop up into our lives sometimes. We're going to go ahead and open with a song here. And then we'll be back and we'll do our opening prayer. And we're going to play an opening song. And hopefully the song will play. I've been having some problems today. Blog Talk's having some issues again today. And so we might want to remember Blog Talk in our prayer as well. But let's go ahead and let's open with, hold on, I'm finding a song here. Just give me a moment. How about this one? And we'll be right back with our opening prayer and then with our guest. All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to Spiritual Talk Radio.
Permission to live passionate and free. I give myself permission to be all I can be. I give myself permission to live passionate and free. I give myself permission to be all I can be. I give myself
deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Okay, let's go ahead and go to prayer. Father, Mother, God, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for just the sunshine that was shining earlier and just talking to me today and just being with me today and just loving on me and letting me love you. And I just thank you for that opportunity today. Father, Mother, God, I thank you for my guest tonight. I thank you for Danelle and the gifts that are inside of her and all that she's going to share with us tonight and just let her relax and just let her feel at home here. And Father, Mother, God, I just thank you for her life and what she's already done and all the things that she's going to do ahead. Some amazing things are in her path, and we just thank you for that. Father, Mother, God, we thank you for my listeners as always. And we just pray that you would just meet their needs today, whatever needs those are. And Father, Mother, God, continually lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would want us to go. Sometimes you call us to do things that maybe look a little scary for us, but let us move past our fears. Let us move past those restrictions. Let us remove those attachments that are holding us back and let us boldly go forward. And Father, Mother, God, I just thank you for that. And I say namaste, and I say surround us right now with that white light of the Holy Spirit. Now I say namaste and I say amen. I want to, I have a guest coming on tomorrow. She's been here before, and I'm going to read an affirmation before we start. And it's from her new book. She's actually launching a new book tomorrow. And it's called Instant Healing is the book. I bought it today. And I want to read a prayer. And we're going to start my show this way every time from now on, I believe. And then we'll remember this. But this is from her book. And I just want to read this. And here we go. We are one with God. We are one with the truth of being. We are one with the light of God's consciousness. We are one with infinite divine intelligence. We are one with the perfection of being. We are one with perfection everywhere now. We are one with perfection here now. We are one with the indwelling spirit of God. We are one with God's love, one with God's light, one with God's energy, and one with God's truth. We are now one in spirit. Thank you, God. And so it is. Let's say hello to Donnell. Hi.
Hola. Nice to be on your show today. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. I was watching one of your YouTube videos earlier today.
Goodness heavens.
Hey, it was the one where you were talking about your gifts and, you know, your psychic abilities and stuff like that. And I was like, man, she has a lot of energy. So it was amazing.
Well, thank you. I'm from Montana originally, even though I'm in Los Angeles. That's where I'm calling from you today. I've been down here for 11 years. But I tell you, if you don't have a lot of energy growing up in Montana, the bears will get you. So you have to stay on top of things.
Yeah, because I liked in this video I was watching, you were saying that, you know, in Montana they don't take, you know, a bunch of garbage and stuff. You know, you got to stand up for yourself. And I just like that. And you know, I could tell that was probably an old video, but there was just a lot of good energy there. And you've got definitely good energy. Now, the one thing that I've never had a person on my show that was a UFOologist. So what is that? I mean, can you explain that?
You know, isn't that the weirdest name? And it's like creepy to say to whoever came up, UFOologist. I mean, there's nothing awkward about that. Jeez.
I know, because I tried to look it up in a dictionary, and I was like, what is that word? So, but yeah.
You know, a ufologist is somebody who studies the UFO phenomenon. And part of my work as a clairvoyant takes me into dealing with a lot of these off-worlders. Not that I have a little foil hat on and I, you know, with antenna, and I'm not picking up my favorite Martian out of the ethers, but you know, these entities are part of our cosmic creation. God made a lot of life out there, and we're only part of it.
Right, definitely. You know, and because I always knew, you know, when I was growing up. Now I've never had an encounter. I mean, with, you know, anything, you know, besides people on this planet, but that I know of. But you know, I always knew that there was more. I mean, because to me, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would there be a whole bunch of planets out there without life on them? I mean, so it just didn't ever make any sense to me. Now, how did you get interested in this? And I mean, how did it start for you?
Well, honestly, like many people who deal with UFOs, I've been dealing with them a lot throughout my whole life. And I, like anybody else, when something weird happens in your life, you study up on it because you want to see what that's all about. So my family has had quite a history, although they won't necessarily come out and talk about it as much as I will, with, you know, because who wants to be that lady on the radio? But, you know, is seeing different things in the sky and dealing with, well, not necessarily interpersonally, my other family members with extraterrestrials. I have, but that's another story for another time. It's in my book if you want to read about alien abduction. But it's dealing with these entities and trying to understand them. And for me, part of it was simply decoding the energy signatures and the communications that I was pulling out of the air and trying to figure out what exactly it was that I was listening to and what exactly they wanted and what were they even doing here in the first place. It's more like getting to know your weird neighbors who moved in that you don't, you know, really.
Yeah, and trying to figure out, you know, what's really up with these people. And so, but now you talked about a book just a minute ago. Now, did you write a book about an experience you had, or could you mention your book?
You know, I put a book out this last June called True Tales of the Truly Weird, and about four chapters have to deal with extraterrestrials and UFO phenomenon and my interactions with these different races and species. And the other chapters are, you know, they're about dealing with ghosts and demons and elementals and just about maybe the top weirdest stuff I've ever dealt with as a psychic. But yeah, it's in there.
Okay, cool. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the weird stuff, because I'm interested about weird stuff. I sort of like weird stuff. Maybe I'm a
you
little
and me
weird.
Both,
maybe,
right?
Yeah. I think maybe, you know, I guess because of the work we do, we have to be a little open to some weird stuff, because we've all had those encounters. Now, the difference. Now, how when you started? Now let's you are a clairvoyant and a psychic, and are you a medium as well?
Yes. Yeah, that comes along a lot of times with the channeling aptitude, I find.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I just want to check, because a lot of times, you know, not everybody that's psychic is a medium, and, you know, sometimes I get ahead of myself. But I thought I read that somewhere when I was looking up stuff about you. I was doing some investigating on you last night, so I think I made across that. Yeah. But now, how did, when you were younger, let's go back to when you were young. Now, what started happening first with you? Did you have encounters with other people on other planets, or, you know, were you seeing, you know, spirits here on this plane, or how did
that
all begin?
The first thing that happened for me, I didn't run into the extraterrestrial till later. Thank God. That would have been weird as a little kid. I would just rather deal with disembodied people. When I was 2 years old, I mean, really, when I was 2 years old, I was in my great Italian uncle's house, and we were hanging out, and we went to see my Uncle Dominic, and he was a pretty daunting guy, okay? He was kind of scary, bald head, just this stare that went right through you. And when we would go to visit him, I would always go hang out with my Auntie Sylvia, because she was a lot nicer, and she'd pat me over to her leg. You know, when you're little, you come up to somebody's knee, practically.
Right.
And I'd go over, and I'd put my face in her dress, and I'd kind of stare at my Uncle Dominic, and she'd pet my hair. And, I mean, I remember both of these people so clearly, and he was wearing overalls, and, of course, she's wearing this dress, and it has a specific smell to it. Well, years later, I'm actually having a conversation with my mom when I'm in my late teens about, oh, remember when we used to go to Auntie Sylvia and Uncle Dominic's house, and Auntie Sylvia was so nice, and she'd just stand over by the sink, and Uncle Dominic would drink his wine, and my mom looked at me, and she said, you just saw Uncle Dominic, because Auntie Sylvia died the year before you were born. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I thought she was just punking me, you know. I said, Mom, no, she didn't. I mean, I remember specifically, and I described the dress and what it smelled like and how it was cut and what it looked like and the yellow apron. And Mom said, no, that's exactly what she wore all the time, but she wasn't alive when you would go see Uncle Dominic. And obviously, my Auntie Sylvia came around to comfort me, because Uncle Dominic, he was a great guy. He just scared the crap out of me as a kid. Because he looked scary, you know. But she came around and always was there when we went to visit, and she never said anything. That's the interesting part about the story. She always just kind of patted my leg and called me over, but it wasn't unusual. It was just more like, you know, an older wife in the kitchen who was letting her husband talk. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary with her being quiet. So it never occurred to me that she wasn't there, considering I could actually physically smell and feel the material, you know, of her dress.
Right.
It wouldn't occur to a kid that, oh, you must be fake, even though I'm standing here leaning against you. So that was really my very first experience that I can recall at the age of around 2.
Man, that's amazing. And, you know, and because, you know, so much detail and stuff like that, that's just amazing. Now, as you grew, I'm sure your gifts have developed, you know, with time. Now, do people accept you when you first started? Back in the day?
Well, here's a great irony, and what a great question. My career prior to coming out, if you will, as a psychic, was in music. And I was really, really nervous about letting these abilities be publicly known, because I already had a job in media already, and for those who liked 90s pop music back in the day with the Lilith Fairstein, I fronted the band Pope Jane. And so I thought, oh, God, this is going to be a train wreck. People are going to be saying, oh, what, Pope Jane lost their record deal, and so now the singer's a psychic? Whatever. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this, you know what I mean? I had so many fears around that. And actually, none of that happened at all, Michael. Through one event and another, which had to do with working with law enforcement and cases coming out in media that I was working on as a psychic, I just kind of got outed and finally just took the plunge. And when I came out, if you will, with all of these abilities and was public about it, all of these people in my life, through music, through tours, all of it, they came forward and they're like, what? Duh. Like, we didn't know this about you. You know stuff before it happened all the time, and that's not surprising. So really, I created, you know what I mean? I created much more of a scenario that would be negative than actually happens.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times, and this is something we could talk about really quick, you know, I think a lot of times we do that, you know, our minds say, okay, I can't do this because, you know, this and this is going to happen. And most of the time, that and that never happens, you know, and people are more accepting and more open. And I think, you know, as, you know, as time has changed, people are more open to this stuff now, you know, than they used to be, you know, and I feel like that there's just more accepting. Would you agree with that right now?
Oh, absolutely. It's the times we're in, and it, with the exception of some very, very deep religious pockets in
right.
our country, people don't right. see the psychic arts or the spiritual arts, that's what I like to call them,
yeah.
as demonic like they used to.
Right. Yeah, because I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and for me, when I started stepping out doing what I do now, it was really hard for me to get past some of those very strong belief systems that were, you know, pushed into me. So it was just really hard to get past that stuff. Now, you talked earlier about, you know, demons and some of the weird things that you have encountered. Could you elaborate a little bit about that? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Well, honestly, you know, well, gosh, okay, demons, of course, are real. People, I'm like, wow, that's a big question. Where should I start with that? Demons, of course, are real, but people tend to believe in them and not angels, which I find
right.
very curious. A
right.
lot of my work has to do with angelic communication. That's typically when I'm doing a reading for a person, whom I'm in
right.
contact with is their angels,
right.
not their dead grandpa or whatever.
Right.
So when you're dealing with demons, they are real. They're not as prevalent as people would like to think they are.
Right.
And they're certainly not going to pop up in a ghost hunt in the same way that a human ghost would. Honestly, a human ghost comes forward in a ghost investigation because we as people want to be heard. Okay, we want to be heard. Demons
right.
don't. They're not human. They are like predatory, sociopathic, great white sharks that just hang in the dark and wait till your back is turned, and then they rush on you and they eat you. That's what a demon does. So, you know, they're not going to come out and say, yes, I'm an evil demon here to take you over, because that kind of ruins their whole attack. You know, that's no fun.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, so that's a lot of times why people won't get a lot of demonic activity responding in a paranormal investigation. You might get a growl or a black thing on your camera, but that's about all you're going to get. Unless somebody is actually physically possessed, in which case that's very, very, very rare, and you'll get all kinds of footage in that case, but it's incredibly rare to have that happen.
Right. Yeah, it's not as, you know, not out there as much as a lot of people believe. Now, you do have because I've watched some of your videos where you do some paranormal investigation as well, and I found it very interesting. Now, how did that start for you? I mean, with your paranormal investigating?
That was just something that I was requested to go do by people. I was asked to go along, and,
right.
you know, I would, and I found that I really enjoyed it a great deal. So, honestly, as I was going through that process, I felt that it was a big part of healing or bringing healing to clients when I could actually come in and, identify which spirit is in the house, or maybe possibly potentially assist that spirit in crossing over. It wasn't necessarily the curiosity that got me to go do it, like with ufology. However, it was more about bringing healing to the clients and adding my two cents so they could move on, or the spirits in the house could move on. That's how I felt most, quote, legitimate, end quote, about investigating.
Right. And now I'm going to go back to the UFO thing, because you just said you were very curious of it. And so, and there was a difference. I mean, you were curious about the, you know, life on other planets, I guess, and you weren't so much with the other stuff. And so I just wanted to, you know, hit on that. Because something was drawing you to that. Would you say, do you lean one way than the other? Do you lean more towards extraterrestrials or towards the spirit world? I mean,
I lean both ways. I lean both ways. I'm bi-spiritual. Ah! Sorry, I had to go there.
You had to go there. I knew you were getting ready to, so yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to go there. But really, it's about leaning both places, and it seems as though, Michael, if I have quite frankly, if there are informational pieces that are coming to the spirit realm, I will grab those and pass those through for ghosts, for human spirits. If there are informational pieces coming through from our off-world friends, which is what I call ETs, because I think extraterrestrial is a little lofty, I'll pass those through. You know, really it's about, I'm a translator. That is my job. I translate messages and energetic signals. And wherever they come from at that point in time, I put them out there. I believe in answer to your question that I've been lately attracted very strongly to the ufology community because we are about ready to have a lot of first contact interaction with our off-world friends. And it seems to be very important to me anyway to put fears aside that people would have about that. That's the last thing we need is the natives carrying pitchforks and torches and getting all hysterical and the John 3:16 signs and, you know, really?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to do my part to say, hey, gang, we don't need to be worried about these guys. If they were going to take over the Earth, they would have done it 200,000 years ago before we polluted the oceans. So it's all good.
Yeah. And that's so – let's stick with that. So you think that the activity is going to start picking up from them? They're communicating more with us? Because, you know, the other night now I just remember this because the other night I was outside and I just remember something. My spirit guide just reminded me because I was looking at the sky and I – well, actually, a friend of mine called me because she was seeing something up in the sky as well. And I was – and then I started looking up there and I was like, okay, what is that? Because there was something up there. It was like you could see it was just glowing and it wasn't a star and it wasn't a plane. I don't know what it was, but – you know, so like, you know, UFO means flying object, and so whatever that was, I believe was trying to communicate or, you know, trying to tell me something.
Well, and that's what they look like. They look like great big balls of light. If you look back into the biblical references, you know, Ezekiel saw a wheel. There's all kinds of references in the Bible that actually could be, now I'm just saying could be because I wasn't there, so what do I know, but could be construed as terrestrial, contact. In addition to angels, and like I said, I very much believe in angels because just like I believe in you right now, Michael, because I'm talking to you, you know.
I
talk to angels quite frequently and they respond, so... that's what I'm saying. Keep your eyes to the skies, my friend, because there's going to be a lot of really interesting UFO activity leading up all to the summertime as this disclosure comes out about how we as a species have been dealing with these guys forever. It's not a big deal, but they're here trying to help us out with some issues with the planet right now. And it's kind of hard to do that. It's kind of hard to save somebody from drowning if you're trying to stay hidden. You know, that's a little tough.
Yeah.
They're part of the plan here.
Yeah. Now, I have a question for you because I don't know a whole lot of this stuff. I mean, this is not my area of expertise. But now, do you believe that they're already here among us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. They have been here among us since day one. They're a much older, they're many, many older species than we are. We're really a blink on the timeline. And in fact, it's very intriguing to me how there was Neanderthal man on the Earth for quite a long time, and all of a sudden Cro-Magnon man pops up out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere, all over the Earth at one time. It wasn't just, oh, guess what? We have this mutation occurring in the Fertile Crescent that's taking, you know, 5,000 years to spread over the globe. No, we just all of a sudden see Cro-Magnon man all over the globe all at once, and they turned around and killed off Neanderthal man. So it's my personal belief that this galactic family that we talk about, I think we're part of that. And I think it blows people's mind and it makes people upset about the God part because people say, no, God created man. Well, of course God created man. God created everything. So who's to say that we're not part of these guys too, you know?
Right. Yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, a lot of times, and I, you know, I'm sure you would agree with me, you know, Hollywood just portrays things just not in a very good light. You know, they have, you know, spirits come out of walls eating people and all kinds of stuff. And it's the same way with the ETs. You know, I don't believe, and I could be wrong, you know, I don't believe they're going to invade our planet. They would have already done that. But, you know, a lot of times that's portrayed in Hollywood, you know, that all these invasions and all this stuff and, you know, might make good for movies or something, but that's not true. So would you agree? I mean, that's not what they're here to do. They're here to help us grow.
Well, yeah, that's exactly true. And there are some gnarly off-world species out there. They don't really interact with humanity as much as they used to. Quite frankly, it's because the off-worlders, who I will call our more genetic cousins out there, have said, hey, come on, quit picking on the little guys. That's ridiculous. Like you would, like an older brother would protect a younger brother. You know, they're saying, come on, guys. Really, these extraterrestrials or these off-worlders, they're not here for us anyway. They are here because they have been utilizing the planet Earth like LAX, like a jump station, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years. The Earth is a spinning electromagnet. I mean, it opens up vortexes to all sorts of parts of the universe. It's covered in salt water, which is a huge conductor of electromagnetic energy. I mean, it's a unique landing strip if you are an interdimensional or a temporal traveler. So these guys have been popping here and then popping out, like, you know, Dulles Airport in the middle of the country, landing and going for a very long time. And that's part of their agreement, is they're all kind of using the Earth like a runway. And in the meantime, they kind of help us out, too. Not that that's their job, but if you were doing anything in a culture that perhaps could use your assistance here and there, it's likely we would do the same thing for somebody else if they were in great peril. So, I mean, that's kind of how, that's the super short cliff notes of why they're here and what they're doing. But that's why we see them up in the sky all the time.
Yeah. And now you were talking, I think on your website, I noticed, I don't have your website up right now, but I think, I'm just trying to do this from memory. I think you were talking about communication, that you offer that, or you can help people, assist people. Is that true, or am I way off base somewhere?
I'm sorry, the phone cut out on you. What were you saying about assisting people?
Okay, like, yeah, I've had problems with Blog Talk sometimes. You know, communication. How do they communicate with you? I guess we'll go there. When you talk to them, how do you communicate with them? What do they sound like? You know, how does that happen for you?
Well, honestly, I honestly have two main formats of communication. Well, three. I sometimes feel empathetically the emotional response that a client is going through. They will give me that response so I can decode it. Sometimes I can actually physically hear, not voices in my head, but you can hear a particular frequency that has some information on it. A lot of times, it's almost like hearing inside of your head. There's a particular channel you're on where you just get downloaded with information, and you just understand the information across the board. And that in and of itself carries a lot of information. So you'll get phrases. I will get phrases, especially from Angelic Life. They're very specific when they're dealing with a client. They want someone to be able to understand what it is you're saying. So they will use words or key phrases that the client will really resonate with. And that is really an earmarker for the client, so the client knows that the information that they're getting is pertinent to their issue.
Okay. All right. And now, because I just popped over on your website, could you give people your website just in case people want to get hold of you? You got a whole bunch of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do a lot of private client readings. I do a lot of readings for studios and all kinds of other things when they're looking for consultation on, paranormal programming, actually. But you guys can find me at Danielle Agnew, EGNEW-advisor.com, DanielleAgnew-advisor.com, and there's all kinds of info there y'all can peruse through.
Yeah, because I was going to tell people, because if you just put Danielle Agnew in there, you're also going to find a music site as well, because there's a music site. I think
that's
actually,
right. If you guys go to DanielleAgnew.com, you're going to hit my career before I ever came out as a psychic, which is all music and film. So,
Yeah, because I listened to some of that too, and you know, that was pretty cool too. But how did you make that transition? That would be interesting. How did did you just wake up one day and say, hey, you know, I think I'm going to do the psychic thing? I mean, how did you make that transition from, how long were you in music for, first of all? How long were you doing that?
Oh my God. Well, I'm still technically in it, so it's been 25 years now. 25 years. I mean, I started doing that immediately out of college, signed my first record deal, actually. So, you know, it's been a long time. And I was the most active in it from out of college all the way till about my mid-30s. And then the band that I was in, which some folks may remember this band, Pope Jane, went ahead and it had its day and its radio play and all that good stuff. And like anything, all bands arc, you know. And we had a really good run. We had an 8-year run that was back before in music. That was back right. before they let you have 1 year as a hit artist and then they'd take it away from you, which is really what they do now. They just rotate, you know, they rotate people through. It's a different industry now. So we had an 8-year run, which is really terrific. And at the end of that run, I didn't really know what to do with myself because I was the chick who fronted Pope Jane. And that is how the world knew me. And that's how I knew the world. And so all of a sudden, that career was, it just ran its course.
Right.
And, you know, being a female in music in your mid-30s, especially back, oh gosh, maybe 10 years ago,
right.
was really career death back then. It's a little different now with television. But so I just didn't have much to do, and I had a dare given to me by a friend's mother who I was actually doing a reading for. I was doing a psychic reading for this woman, and I said, my God, you have a lot of spiritual gifts and aptitudes. Why the heck are you not reading for people and helping them? You're amazing with this. And she just looked right through me, and she said, why aren't you? And I hadn't really told anybody that that's necessarily what I did. And I shouldn't say I was giving her a reading. I was commenting on what I saw inside of her. And then she said, well, why don't you do it? So I figured, well, everything seems to be dead-ended with the music career for a while here, so I guess I'll just put that over here on the back burner and, you know, start doing this. And that's how I really got into it.
Okay. Because I was wondering how, you know, you made that transition. But and I think a lot of times in our lives, you know, I know for me, you know, there was a similar thing. You know, I had been doing a regular job, I guess, whatever you want to call that. And then all of a sudden
right.
that came to an end. And then, you know, Spirit sort of pushed me, you know, this way and said, okay, hey, this is what I want for your life. This is what I want you to do. And, you know, you just got to step out there. But it is scary sometimes to step out. You know, and you start out there. Now, the one thing, I went to your website, and I want to talk about this really quick because I don't want to. When I went to your website to begin with, this is something popped out on your website to me, and I want to talk about it. And it's the Find Me organization that you're a part of. Could you explain what that is a little bit?
Oh, yeah. This is really, really cool. Find Me is a national organization of volunteer psychics and law enforcement and forensic scientists that all volunteer our time attempting to find information out on cold cases. And what we'll do is the head of Find Me, who actually has some rather important government ties, will send out to all of us cases that are presented to him through law enforcement. And the cases will be very general. It'll say, here, this is the individual, they're trying to find the person's body. A lot of times it has to do with the retrieval of remains so the families can have some sort of closure. And me and 102 other psychics, that's how many people volunteer our time, will get this information. There's a whole official form that we have to fill out that's on the backdoor site of Find Me. And we log into that and we fill out this form, and that gets submitted along with everybody's findings to law enforcement, including GPS coordinates where we are feeling that the remains may be located. So there are some cases, you know, you do better than others on, you know, this. There's no real way to nail this stuff 100% of the time, but we figure that with enough of us trying to hit these GPS locations, oftentimes what happens is that oddly, a lot of us will be nailing the same exact area, even if we're not right on top of each other's coordinates, but we'll be in the same area. So that gives law enforcement a place to look.
Right, because a few of you are hitting on the same thing, so that gives them a chance to go that way and look that way. So, I find that amazing, and you know, and also that you're volunteering to do this. And, you know, that's one thing that I want people to know, that, you know, it's a volunteer thing. It's to help people. Because I think
that's
a lot
exactly
of times,
right.
there's just so many, you know, the one thing, I don't know if you're like this, but the one thing I try to avoid when I go to Walmart is, you know, the missing people posters that they all have up there, because when I walk by that thing, I hear alive, past, and I started trying to avoid that thing like the plague, you know, because I just started picking up information, and it can drive you a little bonkers at times, because you know, all this stuff just starts happening. Would you agree with that, sort of? Do you have
oh,
that sometimes?
I would, and you'll get something sent, you know, to you, and you're getting, are they here, are they not here?
Yeah.
It's much easier to find a human being who's missing, who's alive. Because
right.
you can literally, for me anyway, I'll speak for myself, I can look on that grid and find that person because I can clock onto their energy signature because they're still here. When I'm
right.
looking for somebody who is passed away, I'm looking for their shell. So I'm still looking for their resonance, but it's very faint. On a lot of times on very decayed cellular structure, so you're like, oh, my God. It's like trying to find somebody's car keys that they lost all over the planet. And
right.
not to say it's impossible, but what I tend to find is I tend to be able to clock on to the last moments of where that person was during their conscious life. And that usually has to do with interfacing with the spirit who's crossed over.
Right. Definitely. Okay. We have, I think, let me go over my switchboard. I think we have a couple people. Well, we actually have one person that would like to speak to you. Do you want to call? We have one person that wants to talk to you.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go ahead and... because you are, you know, psychic as well. Let's see if they have any questions for you about anything. Holly, you're on with myself and Danelle. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to see. My stepson said he saw some kind of spaceship type thing, and then it split into two and went into the Earth. I'm just wondering, did he really see something, and what was it?
Actually, Holly, what he's describing is not as uncommon as you would think. Now, I know it sounds freaky, but think about this. Think about the concept of moving matter and wormholes, okay? These spaceshipy craft, they actually have a lot of physics behind how they're able to float in our... They're not actually floating in our atmosphere. There's all kinds of stuff that I could go into there, but yes. Did he see something that's real? Yes, he did. Because a lot of the... Especially the grays... maintain, landing pockets that are underneath their subterranean. They're underneath the earth. And the reason they do that is, again, when you're dealing with all of these cultures that travel, quote, through wormholes. They're not actually wormholes, but they travel along
yeah.
electromagnetic ley lines. They're going to be drawn to these big cavernous areas under the ground. They're high in iron. They're high in content that would lock on, quite frankly, their informational activity, their navigational activity will lock onto that. So we do have, a lot of times it's the grays that come and go from underneath the ground. You'll see those guys come out of the ocean too. Man alive, you see a lot of UFOs coming up and out of the ocean. And they're not actually, you know, drilling through the ground. They're moving the matter. They're folding space and popping into an underground facility or a cavern that they've made. That's like a parking lot. And they'll do whatever they got to do, and then they pop out. And generally, again, it's not because they don't want to be seen by us, but it has to do with the fact that that location is best for them to land. So where do you guys live, if you don't mind me asking?
This happened in Sammamish, Washington.
Oh,
Washington State.
Yep, Washington State. One of the record labels that I co-own is up in Washington State, and I'm up there all the time. And Washington is a hotbed for paranormal
oh, yeah?
activity. Oh, my goodness, darling. UFO activity is off the hook up there. And think about it. You know, you've got those four big volcanoes that run right in a line. There's a lot
yeah.
of geomagnetic, right? A lot of geomagnetic activity up there. There's a huge Air Force and Army base up there outside of Tacoma.
Yes.
So, yeah, and that's where you'll find a lot of those grays, and they do have their subterranean parking lots. That's sort of their signature. So I'm sure that what he saw was what he saw.
Well, I saw one about 10, 15 years ago, but mine was different. Mine was shooting horizontally, and it was all different colors, and it was seen from California to Oregon to Washington to Canada and Alaska. Like, it was all over the news,
wow.
and everybody saw it.
That
Did
is
you hear
amazing.
About that one, that
What's
one was
that?
Colorful and shooting really fast through the, you know,
hey,
faster
that
than
one,
the airplane.
I can tell you, those real colorful ones that are just like big balls of colorful light, basically.
Yes, that's what I
yeah,
saw.
Yeah, okay. those are a different species or a different race, if you will, than the ones that go in and out of the ground. Those are grays. The ones that you saw shooting up there, they're a lot more what I would call our galactic cousins. They move along a whole different trajectory, and you're not going to find those guys under the ground. Their technology is better, quite frankly. So they don't need the electromagnetic jump points like the grays do.
Oh. And may I just ask one more off topic?
Sure.
Okay. I'm an apartment manager, and I'm having a problem with a female resident, and now she's trying to take me to court. What do you see happening with this?
Well, quite frankly, darling, you know what? I feel sorry for her because it seems that they're showing me very clearly that this is not the first time that this woman has either gone to a small claims court or complained about something. And she doesn't really have a history of winning either. So I think this is somebody who's very upset between her ears. In other words, I think her mental process is not always on board here. So this, don't worry about this. I'm sorry for the inconvenience. But again, this seems like a Judge Judy situation that I'm looking at, where you'd walk in and a judge would look at this and look at her and say, really, this is your evidence pitched out? Because she seems to be at fault for a couple of things here that she's just pretending she's not at fault for and creating excuses for it. That's what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, but I actually have to go to court with her?
Oh, you know,
I'm just hoping
she's going to push for court. She's going to push for court because she truly, poor thing, I see some mental issues here. She really believes that she can win this. And I don't. If anybody else gets involved who's in any way, shape, or form a legal representative, they're going to look at this and look at her and say, are you kidding me? What are you doing? You don't have a leg to stand on here. So if you end up in court, your court appearance will be about 5 seconds while the judge pretty much throws out her stuff and rules for you. So it's probably in her best interest if she doesn't go to court.
Okay, thank you, because that's kind of weighing on my shoulders.
Well, you know, isn't it just sad, these people?
Yeah, I do notice that there's something wrong with her, yeah.
Yeah, bless her heart, honey. She's just got some problems. So, unfortunately, it's the people who've got some problems with their version of reality that makes everything rocky for everybody else.
Yeah. Okay,
right,
well, thank you for everything.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Holly.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah. That was an interesting call. And so.
Yeah, cool.
I know. Because, okay, now I have a question. Okay, because when you were talking to her, because you talked about grays that they're, because see, I'm learning. This is a new thing for me. So I mean, I've never had anybody on my show that has talked like this. So you're the first. But so you call the people that were, you know, or the ETs that are in and out, you know, in the ground, grays. Now, so they're different. I guess different groups of these would.
Yeah, there are different types. Just like there's different, you know, ethnicities of human beings that live on the earth.
Okay.
There's different types of extraterrestrials.
Okay. Because I'm just learning, so I might be asking some weird questions, but hey, you know.
No, there's no such thing as a weird question.
Okay, that's what my teacher told me when I was in school. She always said, "There's no such thing as dumb questions. You just ask them, because that's the only way you learn." So let's go ahead and find let's see what Rose wants to talk about. Rose, you're on with us. Hi. You have a question?
Oh, wow. Hi. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to know, a while back I was having a reading and I was told that I have a Palladian connection, but that was never explained to me. Are you picking up anything about that?
Well, yeah, I'll explain to you what that even means. A Palladian connection, if you look at Sirius, okay, and the Pleiades. The Pleiades is a star system that's sort of kind of close to Earth as far as star systems go. And they call them the Seven Sisters, and you and I might know this more readily as the Subaru logo. Okay, that's the Pleiades. Now, there's also the Sirius star system, Sirius A and Sirius B, which is a binary star system. However, we didn't know this until we had the ability to actually look out into space and see this thing with a telescope. Now, the Pleiades and Sirius have all sorts of documentation in our archaeological history from Sumeria all the way to Egypt, all the way through that Fertile Crescent area. detailed astronomical information that these guys wouldn't have had on these star systems back in the day because they didn't have big high-powered telescopes. What that tells us is that there have been active visitors from the Pleiades system as well as the Sirius star system here on Earth for a very, very long time. And it is my belief and many other people's belief who work in this field, and also my other job is just decoding energy signatures. I find an energy signature and match it with its source. That's what I do. Our current human DNA is, of course, indigenous to the planet Earth, but there's also some kind of funky mix-up in our DNA that's created our current version of humanity. So when somebody tells you you have a Pleiadian connection, that's like saying, hey, guess what? Did you know you're part Italian? Did you know you're part Irish? Everybody on this planet is part something, and it's part of the evolution of our species. So if somebody's saying you have a Pleiadian connection, then it's likely that the person reading for you picked up a resonance in your DNA energy field that would best be matched with Pleiades as opposed to Sirius. And there's a couple of other star systems, too, where folks come from. It just seems like these are the predominant, if you will, ethnicities that kind of came and hang out with our gene pool all those years ago. So that's what that would mean.
Okay, wow, that's really cool. Okay, thank you so much for explaining that to me.
Yeah, you're welcome. A little Gene Roddenberry, but there you go.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Hopefully that helps, Rose. Thank you.
It did. Thanks, Margo.
All right, bye-bye. All right, and we got one more call here. Let's go ahead and see what's on Woody's mind. Woody, you're on with us. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How can we help you?
I just want to have a question on career-wise. Since she does music, I was wondering, I'm pursuing career music with a partner of mine, and we try to navigate. I was wondering what you pick up on that.
Well, what would you like to know specifically, darling? Because I could spend 20 years telling you what I pick up on that. So there's got to be a specific question you're gunning for here.
I guess meeting the right people to make things go forward, I guess.
Well, okay, here's what they have to say about that. You guys are on the right track, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They would like you, and these are your angels talking to me, they would like you to put aside the idea that you need a, quote, right person to advance
mm-hmm.
you. Okay, you guys, they're showing me you guys got a lot of killer creative ideas that are all your own. And the problem with associating with the, quote, right person is that usually there isn't one. And secondly, it'll get in the way of the messages and the brilliance that you guys are being passed along. I'm looking at artist production. I'm looking at song crafting. I mean, you guys have a whole big picture here that you're working on. And that's what they're showing me. And this big picture has got to be executed in the way that you guys would execute this. That's your best bet. So what I tell you is, are you successfully moving forward on this? Absolutely. I see you guys spending a lot of time and energy and passion into your vision for this music. And the only thing I would do to caution you, my friends, is take that ideology out of there that we need that one person to hook us up. Look at Macklemore. Give me a break. Macklemore has been offered record deals on Jay-Z's label. He's been offered record deals by Virgin. He has turned them all down because the guy is completely independent, makes his own videos, makes his own music, and is quadruple platinum in Australia. He's triple platinum here in the United States for different singles. So I think when we take that limitation consciousness out of the way of, oh, I need this one person who will make it magic for me, and realize you guys are those people. They're telling me that you're doing an incredible service to the scene that you're in. And it feels like you guys are making a whole niche here. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's where the power in the musical message is. And it's important that you recognize that. So are you going to do well? Yeah, keep doing exactly what you're doing. And please understand, you guys are the people in the know. You guys are the people that launched this forward.
Okay. What's your contact you?
Oh, you guys, you can hit me up at Danielle Agnew, EGNEW-advisor.com. And there's a contact on there. You guys can email me. Or heck, hit me up on Facebook, too. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. My God, any social media site, you'll find me.
Okay, under the same name?
Pardon?
Underneath the same name, or?
That's exactly right, yep. I'm just out there under my own name, Danielle Agnew, EGNEW.
E-T-N-U-W?
E-G-N-E-W. Like new eggs, only with one G.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Woody. All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. So hopefully, yeah, because, you know, Woody's called in here, you know, several times about music and, you know, the one thing, yeah, I see them doing good too. It's just, you know, a lot of times we just, you know, I think we get hung up on the fact that we need somebody to promote us or push us forward or whatever. And we have to be that person to push us forward. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely, totally would agree with that. We really truly think that there's going to be that one magic person who gives us the keys to the kingdom. And really what that's about, in my opinion, Michael, is us giving ourselves permission to unlock our own potential. And as soon as we do that, it's kind of like the saying, if you build it, they will come. But that's really true. I have spent 25 years in professional entertainment, in music specifically, in the mainstream music industry, and I have watched people boff it by thinking that there's going to be some magic producer or magic connection. That's just BS. It's one way to go. The other way to go, as you and I both know, is to do exactly what you've been gifted to do, and the right people are attracted to that. So that's the better way to go.
Definitely. Now, I have a question for you, because there's a lot of talk, and I don't know if you know this or not, probably do, but like crop circles. When I was younger, I always heard about crop circles, and I was like, what are those? And can you explain that? Or I don't know.
I can. Some crop circles, of course, are a hoaxster, you know, just like some pictures of Bigfoot are fake. I mean, wherever you find a paranormal piece of phenomenon, you're going to find some jerkhole who's going to make a fake one right next to it. But crop circles are maps. Okay. They are maps. And if somebody wants to Google this and have some fun with this, Google metal tablets crop circles, and what you'll come up with is this series of crops, or one big series of crop circles that was left in 1992, of course, over in England, where they all happen, and underneath of certain crop circles, they had a metal detector in there, and they found in all of these different circles along the way, metal tablets that precious metals, like a solid gold one, a solid silver one, and this really weird, like, bronzy sort of hybrid alloy that we don't really make here, one, and they were all underneath of the ground. And when I looked at it, I said, oh, my God, that's a map. It's a star map. And I saw that quite clearly. They're not only maps, but they're trying to tell us, this is where we come from, this is how we know you, this is where we've been, and we're going to be coming back around. So if you can decode this, it'll make it easier on you guys. Keeping in mind, guys, that these races and species, they don't speak the same language they do. They don't even communicate a lot of times linearly and verbally. A lot of their communication is energetic bursts, which is telepathic, but that's how I tend to pick them up. So they're trying to speak to us in a language we would understand, basically.
Okay. And now the other thing, you know, a lot of people, you know, I've heard this when I was growing up as well. You know, there's a lot of talk about pyramids. You know, people wonder, you know, who, you know, how were they formed? Where do they come from? Do they have any meaning? You know, what are your take on that?
On the pyramids?
Yeah, on the pyramids.
Wow. Well, you know, the pyramids absolutely were built by a combination of course, human slaves. And the resonance I pull off the pyramids is, well, people are going to laugh, but sorry, guys, is a lot of that extraterrestrial technology that creates a zero buoyancy gravity field. That's also what they use to fly their craft, okay? And that's a whole other discussion, but that's a lot of the energy signature that's still embedded in those pyramids. And folks may not know this, but the pyramids used to be lined in limestone. And limestone, for paranormal investigators listening, is one of the most intense energetic conductors, besides crystalline content, that there is. So these humongous monuments really did, again, they pointed to the stars. And it's certainly no secret that if you study the pyramids, they are aligned with Orion's belt. One of the chambers of the Queen's chamber it goes right up, and you can see it's a little window that goes all the way through. It's a channel chamber that goes all the way through to look at the star Sirius, when it's in a certain night sky at a certain position, because that's where those cultures believed that the soul went, because that's where Isis was from. So we've got all of this connection with these extraterrestrial influences in star maps. We also have a lot of energetic connection with trace elements left on those pyramid blocks that are the same types of radiant energy that comes off of extraterrestrial craft. So if you put one with the one and one equals two in this situation, so we've basically got a combination between human engineering and extraterrestrial capabilities to try to patch everything together.
Definitely. I agree with that. But, you know, I just, you know, when I was a kid, I was just, you know, a lot of this used to scare me. I mean, especially when you're talking, you know, about ETs and stuff like that. You know, now I'm not so much, of course. But, you know, back in the day, you know, you didn't know what was going on. And, you know, I grew up in the 60s, and you know, I remember a lot of people were just talking about, you know, that there could be, you know, at that time an invasion of UFOs, you know, that a lot of people were on edge. And because I think a lot of people just didn't understand, and what we don't understand, we fear. Would you agree with that sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. And that's honestly, Michael, one of my biggest reasons for getting out and talking about all this stuff. It's sure not because I want to sound like that one wacky, weird UFO lady,
right.
You know. But
right.
I really think that we need to stop demonizing all of this and get out of this Hollywood mentality that these extraterrestrial races are going to take us over. That's our fear, Michael, because you and I both know this, because that's what people do. Humans go to another culture where we're superior, and we annihilate them, and we take everything they have. These
right.
cultures are not human, and they've already gone through, evolutionarily speaking, this low vibration consciousness where they behave that way. So
right.
we project our fears onto them.
Yeah, because a lot of them are on much higher vibrations than we are at the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so they're not going to do that. But, you know, yeah, and there has to be people, and that's why I really wanted to talk about this tonight, because like I said, I've never talked about this on this program, and I just feel like it's time for us to learn about all kinds of things that are out there among us. And, you know, there are angels that work with us. You know, there's ETs that are, you know, working on our behalf as well in different ways. And, you know, there's just a whole bunch of stuff in the spirit world that we just don't understand all the time. And, but we, you know, we try. But now when you first started talking, you know, about ETs to your friends, did they look at you a little weird? I mean, how did that go?
No, again, not really. You know, it's fascinating how many people out there deep down absolutely believe in UFOs, believe in extraterrestrial
right.
life, and frankly, when it comes right down to it, believe that we may even be related to them. I mean, when
right.
it really comes down to it, when you're just talking one-on-one with people, even the most religious of people, I mean, unless they're real crazy, crazy religious, and then that's its own category of awareness, but
right.
you know, most people are very open to this. And even in a psychic field, heck, you even, I'm sure, have run into this. It will not talk about UFOs a lot of times because it's still the one thing that makes you sound like the crazy person. We very much
right.
accepted, right? We very much accepted demons and angels and ghosts. That's all okay, but don't start talking aliens because you're crazy.
Right.
And so somebody's got to stand up for this, and that's what I've chosen to do.
Yeah, I had a friend, well, I don't know where she is at the moment. She's disappeared a little bit off the planet. We don't have any communication with her for a while. But she really introduced me to Palladians. You know, she really believed in them. She started, you know, talking to me and opening me up, you know, to this. Because, you know, yeah, I'll talk about ghosts and I'll talk about demons and I'll talk about all that kind of stuff. But ETs, you know, I'd be like, oh, okay. But yeah, because it is, you know, it's still that thing that people just don't understand, and, you know, we just have to start accepting it and know that they're among us, and, you know, they were here before we were, so, in a lot of ways.
Well, that's absolutely true, and not only were they here before we were, But, I mean, a long time before we were. But
right.
It's like anything else. Did you know, I'm sure you probably do know this little bit of trivia here, but talking about extraterrestrials is no different than in the late 1800s and early 1900s, the explorers who went to Africa talking about this mythical creature that walked on all fours and looked like a man and was a big hairy thing that lived in the forest. And it was just this horrific, horrific myth by the native cultures of this scary, scary monster. Well, then we actually got better technology to get up into the woods and into the forest, and we found silverback gorillas. But they were considered deep demonic creatures that were otherworldly by the native populations until somebody got up there and found them. So, you know, ETs are the same way. I don't think we need to, you know, make huge demons out of just part of life in the galaxy.
Right. Yep, true. Because, you know, one time I talked to somebody about ETs, and they said, well, there's, you know, there's nobody else up there. We're the only, you know, planet with life. And I was like, okay, first of all, that is very, yeah, just egotistical to think that.
Sure.
But because I was like, yeah, so we're the only living creatures? Yeah, so no. But because I don't know, whenever I was just a boy, I would look up at the sky and just knew that somebody was watching me or felt that. I mean, I didn't totally understand it, of course, but, you know, just always felt that. You know, just always felt like that there was, you know, somebody out there just aware of me and watching me and at time even rooting for me, you know, saying, hey, you know, things are going to be better. Of course, so some of that were my loved ones on the other side and angels and stuff like that. But I also felt like it was beyond that. You know, there was something else out there beyond all of that. And so,
well,
but hey,
you know, honestly, yeah. I think you're right. And I think that the reason that we tend to look up, don't you think that's a little weird? Let's just interrupt both of ourselves for 1 second and look at what you just said.
Okay.
Why as a species would we bother looking up anyway? Yeah, okay, it's interesting. There's stars and moons. But why would we even ponder ideas? Why would it even whack across our collective consciousness that there could be life elsewhere? I believe it's because genetically we know that that's part of where we come from. And you're right, we do have angels, and we do have loved ones, and God, and that feeling of being looked upon by God. But looking out there and going, where are you? It's because we know on a genetic level that there's life there. Notice that we do not look into a Snickers bar, okay, and say, where are you, life? We don't look into a granite mountain and say, where are you, life? But we look out to space and do that. It's because we have a genetic encode to partially know that that's part of where our genome came from.
That we're connected to something that is beyond us, that we don't totally understand. I don't even think that we understand it yet, but we're getting close.
No, I agree.
No. Yeah, but we're getting really close to understanding it, and that's the exciting part. Well, unfortunately, we are running down on time, and so. But give us your website one more time, how we can get hold of you.
You guys can get a hold of me, of course, at Danielle Agnew, EGNEW-advisor.com. And you can find me on Twitter, on Facebook. It's Danielle Agnew, EGNEW. You guys can always find me there. I'm happy to talk to you all on Facebook about all kinds of paranormal phenomenon and ETs and whatever else you want to talk about. So hit me up.
Yeah. And now, what was your book again? Because your book is called that you have out. What's your book again?
The book is called True Tales of the Truly Weird. And, guys, you can find that on Amazon. You can find it on Kindle, on Nook, on iBook. You can get a paperback copy. You can order directly from Amazon. And you can get that link, of course, from my website, Danielle Agnew, EGNEW-advisor.com. And the book details the weirdest paranormal activity I have ever dealt with and spiritual activity, from demons to elementals to extraterrestrials to ghosts.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, we're going to have you back sometime because, you know, there's just so much that you do. And so
well, thank you.
Yeah. You know, I started the show by saying, you know, you wear a whole bunch of hats and, you know, and I think we all do that in different areas of our lives, but, and you have awesome energy, but I'm going to have to say goodnight to you tonight so I can do some business stuff and wrap some things up, but You're always welcome back here, and hopefully you enjoyed yourself. It was a pleasure having you here. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure my listeners has as well, because it just opened up a whole new world to us, at least to me anyhow.
Thank you so much for having me on. I deeply appreciate it, and I'd be honored to come back anytime. You just give me a shout-out.
All right. You have a good night, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, bye-bye. All right, now let me talk. All right, I don't know how my mic got off. It was earlier, it was off, and then it came on by itself, and so I guess it went off by itself. So, all right, so now let's talk. I don't know how much nobody heard. So, let's go with her website again. Danelle's website is www.danelleagnewadvisor.com. Paranormal stuff happens on this program too. Songs play and things happen that I don't have any control over. And so hopefully my mic's open. But that's her website. Her book, True Tales of the Truly Weird. I believe I'm going to buy that because it's just, you know, a lot of things that she has gone through, a lot of things that she has experienced. She's been doing this for a while. And so, you know, go to her website, check things out, buy her book. Learn more about her, stuff like that. All right. And then now I appreciate, you being here. I'm glad that also Rose told me that nobody could hear me because I wasn't on the studio, so I didn't know my mic wasn't open. But like I said, you know, interesting things happen on this program. And I remember when I first started, years and years ago, because I've been on Blog Talk for a while. And when I first started, we used to have a chat room. And one night I was on and was watching the chat room. And all of a sudden, I was doing some readings. And people were saying, that's a beautiful song. And one person said, yeah, that's a beautiful country song. And then it was like a rock and roll song. And there was no music playing. Because I don't play music when I'm doing readings. And so, like I said, you know, very interesting. And the other day on this program, I think we had a lot of problems with Blog Talk, but there was also a lot of paranormal activity, and that is increasing. And Danelle was talking about that, and, you know, and it is going to increase. And I believe that we are going to have those first contacts with ETs really soon. Because the energies are just shifting and the energies are changing and we are so much advancing forward. You know, we've evolved and in a lot of ways. And when we don't, you know, when we don't open ourselves up to growing, when we, you know, goes back to fear again, if we let fear, you know, envelope us and keep us held back, then we're not open to all that's out there. And one thing, when I was a kid, you know, I have always had one foot in this world and one foot in another world. And always. You know, a lot of times people would call me an airhead or whatever they wanted to call me, or a space cadet or whatever, because I just wasn't always connected here. And I'm still not always connected here. I have a very strong connection with the other side. And I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. But I also do believe that we are all opening up more to things. That we're, you know, just be open. That's all I would tell you. You know, don't be afraid up ahead. Because there things are exciting. We live in exciting times. The veil between our world and the spiritual world, or the metaphysical world, or whatever you want to call that, is thinning and thinning and thinning and thinning. And as we're more open to it, then we're going to be more open to communication from that side. We're going to be more open to advancing forward, moving into a higher vibration. Because I talked the other day on the program about lower vibration. One of those lower vibration is fear. And we got to get past that in our lives. You know, stepping out. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and I was talking to them about, you know, they were saying, you know, because I've kept seeing so much that Spirit wanted to do in their lives, but I just felt like that they were being held back by their fear. And I told them that. I said, you got to take that baby step. It's like with me. When I first started years and years ago doing the psychic reading stuff, if I didn't take that step out, you wouldn't be hearing my voice right now. You know, I think a lot of times it goes back that we don't want to be visible, that we don't want to be seen. You know, that a lot of it's the old belief systems of saying that nobody, you know, have nothing to say or nobody wants to hear what you have to say. We got to get past those old belief systems, those old fears, those things that are just holding us back, and we got to step out. You know, in the last couple of weeks, it's been interesting in my own life because, you know, I had a reading done on air by one of the readers that I've had on here. And, you know, she was talking about me being more visible. And then I had somebody else mention, you know, something to me about maybe, hey, Michael, maybe you want to do your own radio station, you know, things like that. We have to listen to people around us. Because a lot of times Spirit is using other people to communicate with us because we are not listening to the Spirit within us. So we're going to have somebody come up to us and say, hey, Michael, maybe you need to do this. Michael, maybe you need to do that. Because we're not always listening. So listen to other people. Listen to what they're saying to you. You know, but listen to that intuition inside of you. Listen to that small, still voice inside of you. More now than ever. You know, the news media and all the people around you, all the doomsayer people, that's what I call those people, they want you to believe that we're living in terrible times. And, you know, and there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, these are the end times and this and that and whatever. They want to keep you in that place of fear because that place of fear keeps you from shining. We started that song, you know, I give myself permission to shine, to move forward. You know, in that song, I give myself permission, it talks about, you know, that we are not afraid of the darkness, we're afraid of our light. You are a light being. You always have been and always will be that. Right now, you're housed in a human body. And that human body gets in the way a lot of the time. Well, the one thing that you always are, and the one thing that I want for you to know tonight, is that you are a spiritual being, having a human experience, not the other way around. I want to read the affirmation again. Spirit wants me to read this again. Tomorrow I have a guest with me at 1 p.m. Central. Please join us. It's Susan Shumsey, and she's been on the program before. But tomorrow she's releasing a book, a brand new book called Instant Healing. And in this book, I have it. I own it. I read it today, a lot of it today. And a lot of you know I've been having health issues. A lot of you know that. And in her book, there was a prayer affirmation in there. A lot of these are prayers. And I started reading that, focusing on my health. And as I read that, I could feel a difference. I could feel a different vibration happening. And so it's all in the way we say things. You know, the one thing that she, in this book, Instant Healing, there's a lot of these affirmations, and I'm going to read the one that we opened with again because I want to look at some things here. But the one thing I want to say is that we definitely need to stand our ground. You know, more than ever, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. you know, why we can explain it to somebody else. I want to read this affirmation, and then I want to look at a few things here. So I'm gonna read it very slow. Here we go. We are one with God. We are one with the truth of being. We are one with the light of God consciousness. I think that a lot of times we don't want to align ourselves with that. I want to go back to that one word. We are one with the light of God consciousness. What does that mean? God consciousness. I believe it envelops us if we allow it to. We are one with the infinity divine intelligence. We are one with the perfection of being. We are one with perfection everywhere now. We are one with the indwelling Spirit of God. And want to focus on we are one with the indwelling Spirit of God. The word indwelling. Want to focus on the word indwelling. What does that mean? Indwelling means in you. We are one with the indwelling Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is indwelling inside of us. I don't know if you're feeling what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling something happening here. We are one with God's love. Whatever that is, you can call, you know, I think we get hung up, and I mention this all the time. We get hung up on these words. We get hung up on the word God. You know, replace that with whatever you want to replace that with. Whatever that makes you, it doesn't matter what we call it. It's all the same thing. We just get hung up on labels. We are one with God's love. One with God's light. One with God's energy. And one with God's truth. We are now one in spirit. That's what it's all about, my friend. Becoming one. There has been so much division on our planet for so long that the angels, the ETs, everybody is trying to get us to realize it is time for us to become, we are now one in spirit. Humanity has done its best to create so many divisions, to separate us from one another, based on race, based on sexual preference, whatever. It is now time for us to become one, more than ever. We are now one in spirit. Thank you, God. And so it is. You know, I read that today out of her book, and it just hit me. You know, the one thing that I have done since I stepped out, I have always wanted to see us unite. I have always wanted us to be one. And that doesn't mean that we lose our identity. That doesn't mean that you become me or I become you. That just means that we become one in spirit. That we lose all those human things like our anger and our jealousy and our judgmental attitudes and the resentment and all that stuff. That's all it means. I believe a day is coming when we will be one in spirit. But for the time being, we live in a real world that has real issues, that have real problems, and we need to pray for our planet. Today is Earth Day. I want to recognize that before I go off air. Today is Earth Day, so I want to focus on Mother Earth and on our planet for a minute. Remember, I had a dream, and I've said this many times, but I want to say it today, especially today on Earth Day. in 2013, you know, that I had a dream and I was out in the galaxy and I was looking down and I saw our planet. Our planet's beautiful from outer space, actually. And not saying that other planets aren't. I'm just saying our planet is beautiful as well. And was looking down and I saw this angel and she had her arms wrapped around our planet. And I went over to her because I could tell that she was crying. And I said, why are you crying? And she said, because there is so much potential. There is so much stuff that you guys haven't even tapped into yet. And also, she was also crying over our planet because there has been so much abuse done to our planet. But the one thing she told me, because I asked her, I said, will our planet heal? Will we be okay? And she said, yes. She said, your planet will heal in time. So tonight, we send healing into Mother Earth. And we're going to be quiet. I'm just going to go out with quiet. Because I want you to hear the heartbeat of Mother Earth tonight as we recognize Earth Day and as we celebrate this planet and all that Spirit has done and all that Spirit will do here. For a new earth and a new heaven is being created. And a lot of you understand what that means and a lot of you don't. But here, I'm going to close out here in just a few seconds. So you are listening to Spiritual Talk Radio because in about 2 minutes, I'm going to give 2 minutes of silence. So thank you for listening to Spiritual Talk Radio. We will be back here tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central with Susan Shumsey, and then I have some excellent guests coming up. So the rest of the tonight, I just want you to listen to the heartbeat of Spirit. Thank you for listening to Spiritual Talk Radio. Night-night.